Good morning, church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together on a Sunday morning, or any day for that matter, to pray, to worship, to sing, and to glorify your name. We ask a blessing on this service this morning. We ask that everything goes smoothly and your Holy Spirit move amongst us, helping us to hear what it is you want to say to us this morning. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, it is our joy to sing hallelujah to your name. We ask that your Holy Spirit come and move among us now as we come to worship you.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your. Every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. just as you are before your God. Come, come, come.
Good morning and welcome to worship at the Vines Uniting Church. Our prayer is that this service will help you renew and revitalize your relationship with Christ and the Father. How is everybody this morning? 38 degrees planned for today and tomorrow. What a scorching couple of days we've got. Some notices. Home Aloners, it's first Tuesday of the month. So this Tuesday they will be meeting at the Christie's Beach Hotel. And if you wish to go RSVP to Bob Stone, is Bob here today? Yep, Bob's at the back there. So if you wish to join Home Aloners this Tuesday at the Christie's Beach Hotel. Circle of Friends will be on the second Tuesday of the month. That's the 11th of February. And anyone you see Varel or speak to Rob or Varel, they'll let you know. The Creative Connection, again, today they have their registration period last Thursday. They actually start their activities this Thursday, so if you wish to come along, please do. And a special one, our normal markets that we have. We're having one which is kind of Easter themed on Saturday the 5th of April. So if you wish to start preparing for that, you want more information, I believe Marge would be the person to speak to in relation to what's going on. David, you have...
Yeah, good morning. You will remember a couple of weeks back, the day Vanessa was here, we had a major meltdown on the screen and the laptop that's at the back desk failed. And just so that you know, we've actually purchased a new laptop and we're operating from that new laptop this morning. And I just want to say a special thank you to Sandy, whose wisdom to examine the old one and discover it really wasn't worth repairing because it would have cost too much, and helping me to go shopping at Officeworks to buy the new one, and then setting it all up. So thanks, dear brother. And Sandy might shoot me for saying what I'm about to say about him. Could you keep Sandy in your prayer, please, because he is in the process of applying for further study. You remember he finished his master's last year. Did I got that right? The master's last year. So just keep Sandy in your prayer. He has something in mind that he's moving towards and believe that's the direction God is taking him. But some prayer support in all of that will be wonderful. So over the next few weeks or so, keep Sandy in your prayer. Thank you.
Malcolm.
Thanks, Adrian. As a congregation, we have been getting reports on our lovely friend Bob, who's been close to critical in hospital and had quite a bit of heart work done. And Elaine says this morning that he's progressing slowly and could be home at the end of the week. He's graduating in little bits from here to there to there. And one of the best signs of good heart health is he's starting to complain. So please keep them both in your prayers.
It's time for us to offer a little bit back to the Lord of what he gives us. It's time for our offering. I've chosen probably one of my favourite hymns, I Surrender All. So please remain seated until the last verse.
I will ever love. Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Gracious and loving God, we've said it all. We surrender. We give thanks. Lord, bless us in your holy name. Amen.
Before I lead us in our prayers for ourselves and others, I invite you to think about the people and the situations that may be heavy on your hearts today. There may be people who are unwell, like Bob, or those who are feeling the pain of loss and grief, or just finding life difficult at present, perhaps because the weather is oppressive and uncomfortable and filled with smoke. There may be general situations that you know of where people are hurting, and whether that's locally or interstate or overseas. Perhaps there's been a recent incident or two which shakes your confidence in peace or safety or your ability to trust. And there are also the terrible ongoing impacts on all of us of the war between Ukraine and Russia, the wars in the Middle East nations in and around Israel, and the wars in Africa, which tend to be more hidden, but are also places where conflict is occurring. And I invite you to also to think about the state of this planet and how well or how poorly each of us is doing in caring for the earth and its finite resources. So please join me in prayer. Let us pray. God of healing, grace and mercy. Whenever we watch the news, it's easy to be overwhelmed by all the red stuff which confronts us in the fiery flames of aircraft collisions, in the blood that is shed during wars, and in the violent and unimaginable damage to people and their emotions, their homes, their industries, and to our neighbours. And while we ponder some of the difficulties of eking out an existence in challenging times. And yet, Lord, we are confident that you continue to love all of humanity. You weep when we weep, when our grief overwhelms us, and when we despair of the future, and when we see signs of human leaders who appear to have more pride and not much humility. And so we continue to pray for the world, for the big things like peace where there is warfare, for compassion and mercy where there is rigidity and an unwillingness to compromise, and for an end to the arrogance of those who are unable or unwilling to find a middle way. We pray for those nations and individuals who are feeling the stress and impact of a changing climate, which leads to extremes of icy storms and baking heat waves, of droughts and flooding rains. We think especially of those affected by fires in Victoria, and those disrupted by flooding in North Queensland. We pray for our nation where we face several days or a week or more of high temperatures. And we think of the parts of this nation where those fires continue to blacken countryside and damage property, and where those drenching, unrelenting, flooding rainfalls result in displaced people, displaced from their homes, unsure and uncertain of what they'll find when they come back. Help us too to have compassion for the frontline workers who keep us safe, those who volunteer in emergency services, and those whose work is in hospitals, caring and healing. Help us to understand also that when roads are cut by floods, that means that the food and the resources needed for people to live and work become scarce, with empty shelves in shops and warehouses. And often this has a disproportionate impact on the poor. It has an impact on the least and the last within our society. And these may even be our own neighbours. So grant to us, Lord, the humility to feel blessed by you if we have plenty. And help us to creatively give thanks for all our blessings. And help us to acknowledge that others may be struggling, even if we are not. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for all our leaders, all those who have responsibility for leading churches, councils, communities and companies, states and nations, and families. Grant to them the wisdom to make difficult decisions, the humility to seek advice without threatening those who give them advice that is uncomfortable, and grant to them great compassion for those who struggle. May all those who are leaders guide and encourage their followers in ways that lead to life and hope for all, and not just for those who have ideas just like ours, but also for those who, in humility, seek to improve the lives of the little ones amongst us. And we also pray for ourselves and those we know who are hurting. Bring to our loved ones and to our acquaintances and neighbours both the Christian hope embodied by Jesus and the practical help that transform the lives of many, not just a few. And now, in a few moments of silence, we pray specifically for the people we know who are struggling desperately to find peace, healing, hope, and the transforming love and presence of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Grant to each of us strength for our journey. Grant to us healing for our hurting. And grant to us the peace and humility to acknowledge our shortcomings and those of others, and to accept forgiveness in the name of Christ, and to wisely exercise our God-given leadership amongst all those with whom we interact each day. Forgive us for any lack of humility. Forgive us for our arrogance and pride, which seeks to work out of its own strength and not God's strength. And forgive us for any pride or complacency which blocks us from Christ-centered ministry in his name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Holy Spirit. and help us to always honour you, our God. Amen. In his name, the name of Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
This morning's reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is he who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I need to start by saying thank you, Ian, for those intercessory prayers. And if everybody listened carefully to them, I don't need to preach this morning. Very, very well, very well presented and complimenting what we're trying to do in discovering what it is to be leaders in this congregation. Do you remember recently a church service in Washington, D.C., where the president was challenged by Bishop Marion Budd to place the vulnerable, the weak, at the top of the list instead of the bottom of the list? And do you remember the president's response to that lady? Nasty. And he's supposed to be the leader of the free world, or claims to be. Marge has had published, I think most of us would have read it, if you haven't, get hold of it, a statement in which she says it's time for us to leave the frustration of not having a full-time minister behind us and to move on, and it's a call to a new form of leadership. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a call to a new understanding of an old form of leadership. We're frustrated by the efforts to find a full-time minister. After all the years we spent in far north Queensland, there are churches there that were vibrant, bigger than this, who cannot get a minister. There's an obstacle somewhere only a few hundred kilometres north of Brisbane, which ministers seem to find too difficult to cross. Please use Marge's article as you pray. It's a good devotional piece. I've been looking about in these last couple of weeks. I've been doing a lot of reading about leadership and people who lead. And some of you know that I didn't sleep at all Thursday night because I'd had cortisone treatment on Thursday morning and it keeps me awake. Some of you know what that's like, I'm sure. Moses is described in the Bible as the great leader because he was quietly humble more than all the people on the earth. What a drum up to have. How do you live up to that kind of compliment? But in the 55, I think it's now 56 years of ministry that I've experienced, I've been blessed with the leadership of people of every generation in the congregation. When I was a younger, somewhat naive minister, even though I'm a preacher's kid and have been involved in the church all my life, some of the 80 plus year olds, where many of us are now, were my great mentors. They loved me, they forgave me, they kicked me up the pants, and they said, get on with the job again, you're doing okay. I remember a service in the Aitkenvale Church in Townsville, a baptism. Church which is closed today along with most other churches in Townsville because of the floods. I'll put up with chasing my notes to have the air conditioning. We had a baptism and I'd spent a long time with a couple preparing for that baptism. And the week before the baptism, I got a phone call from the mother saying, he's walked out on me and he doesn't want to have anything to do with me or the child ever again. What do I do about the baptism? And I said, I would like you to go ahead with it. And she said, I would too. I think I need it now more than before. And so that single mother, having been through that heartbreak, came for the baptism. And I had to explain to the congregation that recently the father had decided to separate himself from that family. And when I conducted infant baptisms, very few these days, I would baptise the baby, and then afterwards I would invite the congregation to come, anyone, everyone, to come and dip their fingers in the baptismal water and give the child a blessing. I think some people thought it was a good chance to drown somebody. And the congregation were used to that at Aitkenvale. And they came out and they sprinkled water from the baptismal font on that little child's head, and some of them just squeezed an arm or a hand of the mother. And we had a row of seats across the back of the church because the entrance was out there. And in that back row of seats were two families with two little girls who were best friends. And I happened to see them talking to one of the mothers in the back seat, and then two little girls about this high, hand in hand, walked all the way down to the front of the church. And one little girl who knew me better than the other said, Malcolm, can we bless the baby, please? Everyone called me Malcolm, from the youngest to the oldest. Malcolm, can we bless the baby, please? You've heard the saying, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And they turned around, held each other's hands, and walked back to their families. That's the kind of leadership that our church needs. And I don't say that critically of the Vines. I say that of the church. That's the kind of leadership that the world needs. And we're told that Jesus stooped to die on the cross. And I'm quoting passages other than that Jackie led. And I hope you'll forgive me that. Matthew 20:28, whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Where does nasty fit into that? To serve, to stoop, to humble oneself, to be a slave. The Greek word, I still agonise over the trouble I had with Greek in theological college. The Greek word doulos, slave, bond slave, given over completely and utterly, even to death, to another. And that's the word doulos, slave, that's used in the scripture. You're all familiar with the poster on the wall just outside the door, about just out of my reach, are you? Can you remember what it says? Of course you can. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's there for us to see as we walk in and out of church. And we have the gifts of the Spirit: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues. And Judy and I had a beautiful, beautiful friend for many years. Judy boarded with her when she first went out teaching in Port Pirie, and her name was Nesta, N-E-S-T-A. And she was a wonderful, wonderful lady, and she was an incredible chatterbox in the most beautiful way. And her surname was Mitchell, Nesta Mitchell. And I know she's an auntie to 3/4 of the congregation, so you're just going to have to put up with what I say. And Nesta talked and talked and talked, and I started calling her Major Mitchell behind her back. And she heard me one day and she burst out laughing and she said, "I love that." And when the Major came to visit us and stay with us, and we had children at Millicent, the congregation was confused. Why did we have a Salvation Army Major coming to visit and stay with us? Because we only ever called her Major or the Major, and she would sign herself in letters. She was an outstandingly talented teacher and musician, a very gifted person who loved to carry the name of a very rowdy Australian cockatoo. If you look up on the web qualities of good leadership, you will be in despair fairly quickly, I think. Because you'll find a heading: the top 5 qualities of good leader, the top 7, the top 11, the top 15, the top 25 qualities of a good leader. And you think, well, which one's right? let us not ignore the clues, the teachings of Scripture about what it means to be a leader within the Christian family, particularly the pastoral and the spiritual gifts. Remember me telling you, I think it was last week, of Hassan, an Afghani Muslim who started coming to church at Murray Bridge, and his companion said, "Hassan, why are you going to that Christian church? You're a Muslim." And Hassan said, "I love the music and the people are kind to me." That's leadership. That's leadership in practice. In Ephesians, we read these words: "Speak the truth in love." I remember reading a biblical commentary many years ago, which I've probably lost, but I can't remember where it was. But he translated that text by saying, "Truthing it in love." Make sure that truthing is a key to the way you live in your life. Not condescending, not self-righteous, not self-serving. I had lots of arguments with a minister. We never became really close friends because he wanted to follow one commentator's comment on this particular passage about truth and love. And the commentator says this is about speaking that which is doctrinally correct, proceeds from a biblically committed life to a person who needs correction. Am I allowed to go? Do you feel the hurt, the judgment, the dragging down of humanity in that statement? Is that the kind of leadership that Christ gave to us and calls us to? I'm sure not. And I've got a little circle at the bottom of this page of notes which says, "Ugh." Good leaders, and the leaders that we have, and I'm not saying you're starting from zero, you're starting from a strong position, and I see that in this congregation. And I'm delighted, and you have every right to be delighted, but we can always go further. I look for good leaders who practice love and acceptance, who are open-minded and inquiring, and non-judgmental, are encouragers. They are willing to change. They build relationships. They have humility. They have a good sense of humour. They're not only teachers, but more important, they are teachable. If we want to grow in our leadership, we need to be teachable. We need to be motivated to learn and to grow and to change. We need to be passionate, sometimes bold, sometimes tough, but never rough. We need to be clear communicators in the way we speak and the way we think and the way we process. When we were out bush, I visited a major tourist centre, and a couple spoke to me and said, could you come and visit us in our donga, you know, the little transportable thing that they have all around the territory. We need to talk to you. And so I went and talked to this couple. They'd been working their way around remote Australia, working. And when they were working at Uluru, Ayers Rock, they decided that that's where they'd get married. And they arranged for family and friends to fly in from all over Australia to the Rock for their wedding. Now, I don't know what your memory's like, but can any of you think of a major event that happened in Australia that wrecked their wedding? No, going back a long way beyond that. Any, can you remember the pilot strike? The pilot strike. So between moving from the Rock up to the top end, they went back to their hometown and spoke to the minister in a church and said, we want to get married here. And they shared their issue, and he was seemingly quite happy to conduct their wedding. And I sat down with them and watched the video of the wedding. And at one point, the minister delivered what I considered to be a vicious attack on couples who come to the church to get married but are not members of the church. The bride's one word expletive was picked up by the video and heard by the congregation, and I will not repeat it. She was so deeply hurt, she just erupted. The wedding went on, and that was a church that a lot of people decided was not a church that they wanted ever to be in again. And healing that hurt was a long-term task of visiting and listening and loving and caring. An extreme example, but sometimes we can pick up valuable things from those extreme examples. And that occurs in all our occupations. If we were a teacher, sometimes we had authoritarian and hurtful teachers. If we were a police officer, there were some people that we thought should have been arrested rather than being on the other side. If we're ministers, there are times that we prayed for people to travel to somewhere other than where they were. And so it goes on. But can we love across those barriers? Can we love through those obstacles? We're here to serve, not to be served. And we as ministers need to be reminded of that constantly, because we have status and we have power and we say a whole lot of stuff. I hope most of it's helpful, but we say stuff and I say stuff that is not necessarily right or helpful at times. And I get told. And sometimes I'm not told, I'm just ignored. And that's okay. People have that right. They have that right. So let us learn something about our leadership. And we need in our church leaders of every age and generation, from the 80, 90 pluses, right down to the little preschoolers who whisper, Malcolm, can we bless the baby? And leadership very often is a tension between attitude and skill. Oh, we get all these skills, but what's our attitude like? I hated studying the theory of education in teachers' college. We had a deadly dull, boring lecturer. But anyway, of the few things that I remember, was the test of when learning or education has taken place. When learning or education has taken place, there is an attitude change. It's not the acquisition of skills, it's the transformation inside out. It's a bit like conversion. Don't hear that word in church a lot these days, do we? I used to visit a cattle station where there was a school run by a husband and wife, very, very experienced teachers, wonderful, wonderful people. And I arrived on the station once and I went to the school and Alan said, the teacher said to me, "Oh, we've got the boys from such and such a station. They get flown over here on Sunday night and they fly back home Friday night." The eldest of the three boys was angry, bitter, and hurtful in his behaviour and attitudes to everybody. And I said to Alan, "Well, I'll be interested to see how you manage this." And he said, "Yes, my goal is to make sure that by the time he's 18, he's not dead and he's not in jail." And he meant that in all sincerity and compassion. And his gentleness, his love, won. Alan died many years ago, and he left this earth leaving behind a record of a loving, creative, transformative leader. And I'm honoured to be one of those people who was touched by his life. I encourage you to think about your leadership, how you might be able to lead, what you might be able to learn, how you might be able to change, what we can all do to continue building and transforming the people of God in this place. The peace of the Lord be with you.
We're going to go into a time of Holy Communion. And as an introduction, we're going to sing a song that states just exactly what was sacrificed for us on that cross. Written by Graham Kendrick, the song is "Amazing Love." Please remain seated as we sing.
Smile.
Welcome to the Lord's table. The meal is prepared by loving hands. Christ prepared a meal for his disciples. A simple meal of bread and wine. And we have that same simple meal, where we are invited to come, to receive, to be fed, to be nourished through these simple but very powerful symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. My first parish had a little church way down in the soldier settlement group, and a family came along who had a string of kids who filled the back row. And Mum came forward with the girls for communion, and Dad sat up the back and tried to keep the boys under control. And while the first half of the congregation and Mum and the girls were forward, a loud voice came from the back. Dad, when do we get afternoon tea? Let's sit down for morning tea in the sacredness of bread and wine.
Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks to God, he broke it and offered it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. Do this and remember me." And likewise, after supper, he took a cup of wine and again gave thanks to God, offering it to the disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant, the new relationship, the new hope, the new leadership, sealed with my lifeblood. Take and drink this and remember me." Let us reflect on the leadership we have, we need, and can give before we receive the sacrament. Let us pray. Make us leaders, lovers, transformers, keep us humble and keep us in love with Christ and all people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Those who are going to help serve the settlement, please come forward. Blessing, the cup of new life. We take and drink in faith and remember Christ. Lord God,
thank you for meeting us in all the simplicity, wonder and depth of this sacrament. Thank you for being for us and in us. And thank you for calling us to serve in love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Thank you.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame.
Benediction today, we're going to sing an old song written by Robin Mann. Father, bless us as we go. I'm sure most of you will know it.
Father, bless us as we go. Jesus, walk beside us.
Before you go in peace, I must tell you the end of the communion story. The father of a family of six kids, and they were very poor, used to go around the show circuits. You remember the show circuits and the boxing tents? To raise enough money to get them through the rest of the year. And he was a leader in the church.